What happens when a lifelong dream suddenly feels out of reach? Not because you didn't want it badly enough, but because life got in the way. We received a message from a Leaving Cert student who's always dreamed of becoming a vet. And now that they're filling out their CAO, they're facing the reality that the points might not be there for them. Moving abroad also isn't an option for them because they're a carer for one of their parents. It's a situation so many people can relate to in some way. When a goal you've built your identity around no longer feels achievable, how do you let it go without feeling like you failed, though? To help unpack that, I'm joined by careers coach Angela Burke, who's here to talk about letting go of goals, detaching self-worth from outcomes, and finding new paths when plan A falls apart. Angela, thanks for joining me again on the show. We're so used to being told to set goals, to chase dreams, to never give up and all of that. Why does the idea of letting go of a goal feel so uncomfortable for so many of us?
I think it goes back to, you know, when you were in school or, you know, growing up and you were doing Irish dancing or whatever it was, piano lessons for me. And I think, you know, your parents set this kind of precedent that, like, you can't be giving up. I don't know. Is that instilled in us? Like, don't give up, keep going. I think that's in, you know, coaching, in my coaching world, that's like a learned behavior. But I think it's partly that. And I think there is this feeling that, like, I think we associate giving up with failure. And I've definitely learned in my own life and from the work that I do, you know, with my clients, that actually often enough giving up can actually be, you know, the path to success if it's just not leading you down the road that you thought it would lead you down. But we just don't think about that in the moment, do we?
Sometimes it's not rejection, it's just a redirection. Isn't that what they say? That they're sending you in another way. But is it also possible that with all of this, some of us are actually just more stressed because we're constantly setting goals?
100%. And when you think about it, if we're constantly setting goals and we're constantly thinking about the end state, that end place that we want to reach, we're not living in the moment. And we're constantly, like, think about it even from like a gym perspective, right? If you're, or a running perspective, if you, you know, you want to run the 10K and you're thinking about the 10K all the time, but at the moment you can't even run a 1K, and I'm speaking about myself in this regard, like, you're going to feel like you're doomed and you're, everything's going to feel so high pressured and you're behind because you're constantly thinking about this 10K. Whereas actually, you know, if we actually look at mini goals, so when I'm working with clients on setting goals, we're looking at the reality of where we are right now. Absolutely, we spend a moment at the start when we're setting the goal to look at, like, what's the end state. But then if you set kind of mini milestones along the way and don't even look, you know, at any of the milestones later down the path, like, look at the milestone within the next, you know, month, 3 months, 6 months, whatever feels a bit more approachable, and that will actually motivate you. Whereas what the looking at the longer term, that longer term vision, it's actually discouraging, isn't it?
I think it is encouraging, because do you find even in your own line of work, everyone seems to think that the sky is the limit when they hit January 1st, and they should. That's an amazing, that's an amazing way to think about life. But they set all of these resolutions, and by this time, I'd say, of the year, they've gone out the window and you just feel so defeated. Why do people put so much pressure on themselves to get it all right at the beginning of the year?
And you know what we do as well, Valerie, and I found myself being guilty of this year, depending on what way the 1st of January falls, if it doesn't fall in the right manner, i.e. if it's not close to a Monday, you feel like you're doomed. You're like, well, I can't start now. It didn't start on the 1st of January. So yeah, I think we all need to just chill out a little bit. You know, it's been a long January and, you know, we have 11 months ahead of us. We have what, something like 48 weeks ahead of us, 47, I think, given January had 5 weeks. Yeah, we need to just chill out a little bit. You know, if you haven't gotten where you want to be, you know, by week 5, you probably set too hefty of a goal to start with. And we need to just kind of chill out a little bit and not put so much pressure on ourselves. And actually, at the end of the day, like, why are we, if you think about it, Valerie, like, when we set some kind of goal, you know, why do we do that? We set it to motivate ourselves to move forward, to reach a destination. But, like, in the true nature of humans, once we reach that destination, achieve that goal, we are going to set another goal. So why are you, like, why are you just chasing yourself through life, do you know?
That's a good way of looking at it. You're just, It's like as if the goal is the milestone that you're constantly trying to reach, and then you just set another one. You just keep setting it and setting it and setting it. And it's interesting you say there's like 48 weeks left of the year. Santa has barely made it back to the North Pole and people are already stressing. How can you tell the difference between healthy ambition versus a goal that's actually draining you?
Great question. Healthy ambition will give you energy. So you'll feel energized. You'll be looking forward to working on whatever that is, whatever the goal is. You know, when it's kind of a draining goal, like it's actually, even if it's challenging, like challenging is okay, but it'll just be depleting you of energy and kind of messing with your self-confidence as well. And just, you're not going to be enjoying the process at all. Now, and this is where I think people get a little bit confused, because absolutely, when we set goals, we want them to be stretching. We want them to be challenging and to, you know, enable us to grow. But we don't want them to be so stretching that they actually put us into that kind of like analysis paralysis or like freeze mode. And I think that's when they become unhealthy. And that's again when you could be, it all goes back to what we were talking about at the start. Like have you set the right goal based on where you are right now in your life, where you are right now in your fitness, in your career, whatever it is? You have to get the starting point right, and then you're setting yourself up for success and a healthy ambition.
When you look at circumstances when you're trying to set goals, someone's actually been in touch this evening. They want to remain anonymous, but they've said, I've always dreamed of becoming a vet. It's something I wanted for as long as I can remember, and it's what I've worked towards all through school. I'm in my Leaving Cert now, and I'm finally filling out my CAO, and it's really hitting me that this goal just might not be achievable. I'm not going to get the points, and studying abroad isn't an option because I'm a carer for one of my parents. I feel like I'm grieving a future I always thought I'd have. I don't know how to let go of something that's been such a big part of my identity for so long. How do you just give up on a goal you've always believed was your life plan without feeling like you failed? What would your advice be for this person, Angela?
That's really tough. That's very, very tough, particularly when it's out of this person's control. I think that the hardest part in life is when you don't have control over something because you are kind of stuck. There's a few things I would say here. I would say never say never, because this is this person's circumstances right now. And, you know, it sounds like they're absolutely making the right choice in terms of, you know, looking after their parents, because there's more than one route, you know, to every career. And you hear people all the time going back studying later in life. This person, you know, they're referencing school and CAO. Okay, so they're like 17, 18, right? So this is not going to be their circumstance for life. And if you even think of like as a, just say 10 years from then, 28, 30, that's still so young. It's still so young. You still have a whole career ahead of you. So what I would say is, you know, working on absolutely acknowledging the grief and the lack of control you have in this situation right now, and, you know, being kind to yourself in grieving that it's not panning out the way that you had, you know, envisioned for your life post Leaving Cert. But don't lose faith on the dream, because there's, you know, more than one way to skin a cat. I'm going to rage all the animal lovers, but there's more than one path to any destination. And, you know, they could end up studying this later in life. The other thing is, if they want to become a vet, there's clearly a love for animals there. And I have just used the most horrific horrific analogy. Anyways,
it was a term of phrase. That's all you were using it as. Yes, absolutely.
But what they could do is, since they have this love of animals, maybe in the short term, you know, while they are the carer and while they can't go and study the course right now, maybe there's something else they could do working with animals, right? And it could be, you know, working in, if they like dogs, for example. I know there's all these, you know, cool dog places being set up where people can bring their dogs for grooming, etc. Maybe they could help out in a vet, and actually that could be a good way of dipping their toe into that area, that field of work, seeing, do I actually want to work 24/7 with animals versus, you know, really just liking them? So yeah, just to summarize, I think just acknowledge the grief, give yourself compassion, but never say never. There's more than one way to get to where we want to be.
You can be realigned if it is, yes, if it is what you really, really want. But in careers, actually, specifically, if we shift away from that, how common is it for people to be chasing a goal and then they achieve the goal, whether that be the promotion or they get the position they wanted or more salary or whatever. How common is it for them to realize it didn't actually make them happier then?
So common. It's happened to me. It's so, so common. We get so fixated on chasing title, chasing more responsibility, more salary. And, you know, we live in Ireland and, you know, there's absolutely a need, you know, for that financially. But actually what people do is they keep chasing it and they're not checking in with how do I actually feel and how is this extra responsibility, this, you know, particular job title, how is it serving my life and aligning with my life? And often they'll find they just have the head down working so hard to get the title. They finally get the title or get that extra project, get the salary or whatever it is. And they're like, oh my God, I'm actually miserable. So what I would say to people is, absolutely be ambitious and stretch yourself, but you need to be checking in with yourself along the way. Like every kind of 3 to 6 months, you need to be doing a career audit with yourself and saying, how do I feel? First of all, is this job actually supporting my life? You know, am I working all the hours God gives and then I'm not able to go to my yoga class or my football training, or I'm not able to be present on a Sunday evening with my parents? So just checking in with yourself so that along the way you can make the tweaks and changes. You can, you know, slightly maybe slow it down, get some support to help you actually get there quicker in a more supportive manner, rather than just realizing you burnt out your 20s just focusing on this, you know, job that actually didn't really give you the feeling or the happiness you wanted.
What if people are dealing with guilt then when they realize all of that and they're taking a step back or they're changing their goal plans, but they're feeling quite guilty because they probably had so much energy set into it for so long. Yeah. They've told everyone about it. So many people have helped them get there. How do you deal with that emotional side of it?
And the sacrifice, because I think if you're like, I can really relate to that, you know, in my 20s, really focusing on my career. And then there's so much you're going to sacrifice, like your J1s, you're traveling, all of that. I think it's realizing that no experience is ever wasted. So like the effort, the time and effort that they put into that, it's not wasted, even if they decide it's not for them. That will ultimately lead them into the next role. And what I always say to people is, what you enjoy in life and in your career and what you naturally gravitate towards, that's, you know, bringing you closer to where you should be. But what you don't enjoy and what doesn't go well for you, that's also serving its purpose in that it's veering you away from what you shouldn't really lean into in the next position. So rather than focusing on guilt, which I know is hard to do, just think about what it has taught you that will help you to make the next decision that will be more aligned with what you need.
If there is someone listening to you this evening and they might feel a bit stuck chasing some sort of goal that might be no longer bringing them joy, what is one small step they could take today?
Get clarity. I think before making any, you know, hasty decision, I think just stop and just think, right, what is it like at this stage of my life with kind of what I want, which, you know, how I want my life to look even over the next year or two, like, What would align with that from a career perspective? Have a look at, I always say to people, kind of start at home and work outwards. So have a look around you in your workplace at the moment and see if there's any area you want to explore, any team you want to get familiar with, to see if that there's a particular job you might like there. And just don't put pressure on yourself to make a quick decision. Start to kind of educate and inform yourself so that you can make a decision that's more in alignment with your career goals and your life goals.
Well, Angela, if people are listening to you this evening and want to follow along with you, where can they find you on socials?
They can find me on mainly Instagram. It's pretty simple, Angela Burke, B-U-R-K-E, angelaburke.ie.
Well, thanks so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat. I look forward to catching up with you again.
Thanks, Valerie.